Turn with me to the book. Just a few verses to start out with. Luke chapter 18. And would you stand with me for reading God's Word? Luke chapter 18. And we're going to start in verse 1. We could start in verse 2, but we're going to just start in verse 1. And he spake a parable. Jesus spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in the city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Father, we thank you, we praise you for your word, Lord God. God, we thank you that your word is true, Father. Every bit of every word in your Bible is true, Father. God, there is something there for us, Father. There are nuggets in your word, Father. There are keys in your word, Lord God. And God, we've come tonight. We've gathered together, Lord God. And God, whether there be many or whether there be few, Father, God, you are here, Father. And God, where people are gathered together and hungry, Father, you always feed them, Father. And so, God, we thank you. Holy Spirit, come. Open our hearts, our minds. Lead us into deeper things tonight, Lord God. God, we sang about the year of Jubilee, Father. We sang about where the palmer worm and the canker worm came in and destroyed, Father. But you are greater and you are mightier, and you will restore the years that the palmer worm, the canker worm, and the locust has eaten, Father. So God, we want to go into your word, Father. God, we want to see your promises in your word, Father. We want to see everything that you have for us, Father. God, we don't want to leave this place empty, Father. But God, we want to leave this place full, because that's what you desire, Father, to fill your people. And we give you glory in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. The title of the message tonight, one of God's greatest passions. How many know God is a God of passion? I don't think we understand the passion of God. We, you know, understand the passion of Christ. And so we're looking at one of God's greatest passions tonight. And we look at this passage of Scripture, and Jesus starts out and he said, here's a parable. This is a parable, this is a parallel. And he told about the unjust judge. Now, if there's an unjust judge, there's a just judge. And so he said, here's what it took to move the hand of the unjust judge. And it was just nagging, begging, pleading, not giving up, that moved the hand of the unjust judge. He said, though he feared not God or man, it still wore on him. It dragged him down. But Jesus says, the just judge, will he not? You know, shall not God avenge his own elect? Who's the elect? Born again believers. Hallelujah. So, shall not God avenge his very elect? Well, we see that the woman came in and she had an adversary. And so what she wanted was a judgment or a ruling in her favor before the court, right? Mm-hmm. And so Jesus said, shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? How many have cried day and night and sought God and done everything, repented, you know, and bound and loosed and done everything you knew possible, and nothing happened? It seemed like you was right there, but you just couldn't get through. I think we've all been there. What's insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting something different. Hallelujah. So in the Word of God, there are keys. There are things that God has there for us. Jesus said, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. So we know there's a kingdom of heaven. And we know there's keys. Jesus said, I tell you. Very assertive. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. The just judge will avenge the elect speedily. Nevertheless, he said, I tell you, the just judge will render a verdict in your favor speedily. Nevertheless, always the nevertheless at the end, you know. Here it is. Here's the promises. Come on. Here's part of the covenant. Here's part of the things that was won at the cross. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So how many are ready to exercise faith? Well, we have a courtroom setting. Have you ever studied the Word of God and saw how many places in the Bible it talks about this, a courtroom setting? That's one, right? Talking about the judge. So, the judge is in the court. Daniel 7:10 says, the court was seated. And the books were open. Here's the evidence. The books were open. In Matthew 25 is another passage of Scripture about the judge. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Court process, judicial process going on here. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. So here's a court setting, and it was the ruling wasn't in our favor. And so it's just like, you know, when the guilty verdict comes in, and so the judge hands the person over to the officer of the court. And of course they're off to prison. Well, we understand that in the natural, right? We can understand that. If you've ever watched television or anything, you sort of understand the judicial process about the judge and the officer of the court and the bailiff, whatever, you know, all those things. We sort of understand them. And so what we can look at in the natural, we can see that there is a parallel in the spiritual. So there's three places right there that talks about courtroom. Must be something in there. So in this courtroom, guess who the judge is? Judge is God. We know we have an adversary. Come on. The Bible says we have an adversary. We also have an advocate. Mm-hmm. Courtroom sitting. Yeah. And so we see that as we've sought for things, we've cried out for things, and we've clung to the promises of God, we've sought God on our knees, we've cried, we've wept before Him, and yet we just couldn't seem to attain what we saw in the Word was ours. It's like it was elusive. What's happening? And there's all kinds of scenarios as you go into the Word. When Jesus went into the villages, into the towns, and He would minister to the people, there was all kinds of needs in the villages. There was people that needed healed. Not much different than today. Walk down the street. There was people that need delivered. And no matter how Jesus healed them, He spoke the word, He laid hands on them, just whatever way, rub mud in their eyes, whatever, it worked. And when He would cast demons out of people, and He would say, "You're healed." And so we see all these things, different scenarios, but Jesus says, "I only do the will of the Father." So all these things was the will of the Father. We know we have an adversary, the devil, that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He's out to defeat us, beat us down, and ultimately kill us, destroy us. One of the things that he desperately wants to destroy is your destiny. And so, and it's not something we dreamed up. How many wrote your life down? God, here's my life from a long time ago to whenever. But God's the one that wrote down the plans. We sang about that. The plans and purposes for our lives. It's God's plans. It's God's purposes.
Come on.
And so what we see happening is, and it could be ours or it could be somebody else's we're praying for. God has plans and purposes for lives, everybody's life. And so we've come, we've interceded, we've cried out, we've bound, we've loosed, we repented, we've done everything we knew possible. But now what we want to talk about tonight is coming into the courtroom. We talked about this once before, but I want to go a little bit deeper. And so in Luke chapter 11, Jesus says to come, and we come to God as Father, our Father. And then it goes on to a parable, and it talks about friend. We know what Father is. Father is everything. We talked about that this morning. Father's worship, right? When we really, really come and we worship with everything within us, our Father. And then there's the friend. There's that deep, intimate relationship. But in Luke chapter 18, we come to God as judge. And it's not like we come demanding something. We come before God as judge. It's a very reverential place. We come with respect. We come knowing that He's the ultimate. He's the last, right? The Bible says He's the first and He's the last. And so whatever verdict He renders, that's final. That's the last. Amen. Romans 8:26 says that when we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit helps us. And there are times when we need to stop whatever we're doing and say, Holy Spirit, I need some help. I need some direction. What I'm doing isn't working. Come on. And so we see that the Holy Spirit helps us. So in the courts of heaven, there's a process. You know, the Bible talks a lot about processes. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. It's a process. So in Daniel 7:10, the court seated. In other words, the court comes to order. And the court is ready to proceed in session, and the books are opened. So one of the main books that are opened are the books of destiny. Now David, in Psalms 139, verse 16, he said, Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. The Amplified puts it this way. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book all the days of my life were written before they ever took shape, when as yet there was none of them. So what David is saying here, he said, all of our substance is who we are, our DNA, our identity. How many have ever heard of the phrase identity theft? That's gotten to be a big thing, right? In the natural. If it's a big thing in the natural, is it a big thing in the spirit? If somebody wants to steal your identity in the natural, And there are billions of dollars spent every year to protect identity theft. So it must be pretty important. So that would lead me to believe that in the spirit, somebody is trying to steal my identity. And I know who that somebody is. He's my adversary. So David said it was written before time began. Before the foundation of the world, the books of our life was written. Our DNA, our identity was... everything was written about us. If you had, we'll call it a recipe book, okay? If you had this book, do you think, if you wanted the end, come on, God wants the very best for us. So if we would have had our book open and we desperately wanted to fulfill all the plans and the purposes, how many things would we have done different? We can think of the big things, but how many know there was little things, little quirks, little twists in the road that, you know, we got sidetracked. We was off on these rabbit trails instead of staying focused on God's plan, God's purpose for our lives. Who was it said it's not over till it's over? So we have to reach our divine destiny for God's divine purpose to be done on earth as the body of Christ. When everybody in the body of Christ reaches their divine destiny, then the body of Christ will have fulfilled its purpose, right? Hallelujah. When we get our destiny, how many want your destiny? God gets his purpose. But it's going to take courtroom activity to get what's in the books to move our destiny into practical life. How many is ready to go to court? The enemy uses things in the spirit realm to stop us from fulfilling our destiny. He has different strategies, and he's good at what he does. Three of the basic strategies to work against us. One, in Luke 22:31, and the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." And desired means demanded you be put on trial. So Satan had an awareness of what Peter's destiny was, or what was in his book. And he was going to use a trial or a legal issue in the court to deny him his right to have his destiny. Satan would say, "I have evidence to disqualify Peter from his destiny." So Jesus had to know how to go into the court and answer those accusations so that Peter could have what God had for him and he could walk out his destiny. And he does the same for you and for me. He's our advocate. But we have to understand some things. One of the things that Satan uses are curses. Curses in our bloodline. Things that are evident or things that are passed down through generations. One of the things a curse does, a curse creates wrong mindsets. We think incorrectly about ourselves. Now think how much power there is in this. Curses give a legal right until they're broken. Let me give you a for instance. If there's a curse of poverty, that's the way people think with a poverty mentality. How many have ever known people that have poverty mentality? Very evident. It seems as though they talk poverty, they proclaim poverty over their life, the choices they make bring them to poverty. It's just like no matter what they do, it goes south on them. Could be a curse of poverty. They don't believe that God wants them to prosper. Or say there's sickness in the bloodline. You see a lot of that. Doctors have a form to fill out. Do you have a curse in your family? Oops, we can't say that word. Do you have this in your family or that in your family or anywhere in the family tree? Or depression. Anger issues. And these things fashion and form the way we see ourselves. May not even be aware of it. When a curse is broken or removed, we're able to come free of the wrong thinking. And we'll get into this a lot more of this stuff as we go into the temple about renewing our mind. You know, a lot of times people get free of something, but they don't go the extra step. It's like getting free of wrong thinking, but not renewing our mind with the Word of God. A curse is a spiritual force that will sabotage our future and our success. One of the signs of a curse is you can be on the brink of a breakthrough only for it not to happen. And see this pattern repeat itself over and over. It's always a sign of a curse when there's that repetition or pattern over and over and over. Proverbs 26:2. Like a fluttering sparrow or a swallow in flight, a curse without cause will not alight. Or will not land. So the cause, it says, a curse without cause. The cause would imply that it's found a legal right to operate against the bloodline. That's why you see attitudes, behaviors, sickness, depression, timidity, anger, whatever, never, and people are never able to come into destiny. And you see this stuff pass from generation to generation, and just no matter what's done, it's just like never able to fulfill the destiny that God has ordained for us. How many believe, really truly believe, that God has destiny for you? God has good things for us. Come on. Another thing we see, iniquity. Iniquity will give the enemy legal right to tempt us in a given area that someone gave themselves over to. So if you have iniquity in your life, it gives the enemy a legal right to tempt you in some area that we've given ourselves over to. All strongholds are connected to iniquitous issues in the bloodline. You know, we talk about tearing down strongholds. Well, getting rid of the curses, that's part of it. Amen? Mm-hmm. Iniquity will fashion or form our identity. In Isaiah 6:5, here's Isaiah. And he had saw the Lord, high and lifted up, saw him in all his majesty, all his splendor. How many want to see into heaven? And in Isaiah 6:5, Isaiah saw the Lord, and he saw himself. And he says, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." You know, we tend to compare ourselves with other people. Well, I'm a little better than, I don't do that, you know, whatever. But when we see the King, the Lord of hosts, I can't begin to imagine the glory, the pureness, the spotlessness of Jesus Christ. So this is what Isaiah was saying. Woe is me, I'm undone. It's like I ought to be destroyed. But once his iniquity is cleansed, he says, "Here am I, send me. I'm a prophet." His complete identity changed once the iniquity issue was dealt with in his life. Iniquity detours us. It's a sidetrack from our destiny. The enemy uses our iniquity to take us off course. He uses iniquity to build legal cases against us. So, a major key to undo iniquity is one of two things. Recognition. Sometimes we can just recognize stuff. When it's brought to our attention, we can recognize things. Or divine revelation. So, how do we recognize curses, iniquities, whatever that go down through the bloodline? Well, look at parents. Look at their lives. Grandparents, if you knew grandparents. Maybe aunts, uncles, whatever. Look at yourself, siblings. And look at children. Most of us can look at three generations. So if we look at those three generations, and if you're born again, if you believe the promises are yes and amen to all who are in Christ Jesus, and you look at things that go on in family, is everything righteousness? Is everything the way God prepared destiny for everybody? Or is there stuff that you look at and you just know it's wrong? We can recognize it. What is there anything that you've been upset about in your family? Well, things you see that you've been upset about, they're actually clues as to what's going on in your family tree. And those are clues as to areas where we need to be free. Because what's in the bloodline, guess who it affects? Everybody there. Everybody in the bloodline. So after we've done all that we know to do, we need to go to the Lord and ask for divine revelation. And say, God, is there anything else that you, and if there is anything else, would you reveal it to me? How many times has God ever surprised you? And he says, how about this? How about that? So we need to ask God to reveal anything the enemy is using to stop us from coming into our destiny. When Jesus died on the cross, when he said, "It is finished," that was the greatest legal transaction of history. The cross was a verdict rendered. Guess whose favor it was in? It was in our favor. The devil was defeated. He lost his case. God was the judge. And he said, all the conditions have been met for a favorable verdict. A verdict that has not been executed in the place has no power. You can have a verdict rendered in your favor, but until it's executed in the place, don't do any good. Right? In John 16:8, the Holy Spirit will convince the world of judgment. The Holy Spirit's going to make us to realize there was a verdict against the devil. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit in us that empowers us to execute that verdict into place so that we get the benefit of everything Jesus died for. And that's what we do in the courts of heaven. See, if you don't know everything that we are heirs to, everything, all the benefits of the cross, you're not going into court. You're not going to fight against the enemy because you don't know it's yours, right? So how do we legally, you know, in the spirit realm, there's this legal system. So how do we legally go to the court of heaven and get our destiny back? Anybody interested? Nobody's interested. Well, remember Luke 18 and the last verse? And what was Jesus looking for? Faith. That's what it's going to take to go in to the courtroom in heaven. You're going to have to believe. You're going to have to believe there's a just judge. You're going to have to believe that there's a verdict against you. You're going to have to believe that you have a destiny. And it's yours. Amen? So here's what we do. How many's ready to go into the courtroom? That's interesting. God just dropped something in my spirit. And it's like, when you go into a courtroom, you don't go in rags. You don't go dirty, filthy, right? And so, when we go into this courtroom, we're going in clothed in righteousness. Think about it. So we say, Lord, we talked about approaching God as Father. We talked about approaching God as friend. But this time, we're approaching Him as judge. And so it's like we say, Lord, I'm approaching You as judge. And I'm asking for the courts to open. Now in faith, we do this. Lord, would You just open the courts? Now I believe it's possible to see this. But sometimes we just, if we're not to that place yet, by faith, we just believe it happened, right? Lord, would You just open? It's
And as the courts open, the atmosphere changes.
God gives us access to the courts, into the court, by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way that we can come boldly into the courts, reverently, but boldly into the courts. It's the only thing that gives us access is the blood of Jesus. So God's looking for us to put faith in what Jesus did and to bring our case on the basis of that. And that give him the right, when we come, present our case on the basis of what Jesus did. And that gives him the right he needs to release a verdict on our behalf. That makes sense? When we come into the court by the blood of Jesus, and we present our case on what was done at the cross, that gives God the right. God's a just judge. He has to rule on the evidence presented, right? And so when we present what was done at the cross for us, that gives God the right to rule in our favor. Hallelujah. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So as we come and we present ourselves, it's like we say, God, I come before you and I present myself as a living sacrifice. And if there's anything in me that needs to be dealt with. See, we don't just rush into the court, but we come before him and we present ourselves. And we say, Lord, here I am. I present myself before you. And if there's anything that needs to be dealt with that's in me, I just humbly submit myself to you. See, we're asking God, show us anything. And we really want to get a verdict rendered in our favor, but we aren't going to rush it. And it may take a few minutes of repenting before God. Because we want to go in with nothing that the enemy can use against us, right? There may be things that we've allowed in our life. Maybe we would consider them little things, or maybe we don't even recognize them. But we want to deal with them. We want God to deal with them. Amen? Hallelujah. But ultimately, we are allowed to stand at the court because of the righteousness
of who he is. It's his righteousness that grants me and you access into his court. And so we just come and we've taken however long, maybe a minute, maybe 5 minutes, don't know, until we feel that we've taken care of everything. And we ask God to open the courts. And it's like we come and we say, Lord, we come humbly before you, acknowledging that you are judge of all the earth. And so, as we come, and the courts open, and we step into the courtroom. And as we step in, we say, Lord, if there's anything that's displeasing you, anything, would you let your blood cleanse everything right now? According to Colossians 2:14, it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And we can say, Lord, any sin, iniquity, or things from our past that the enemy is using against us, every accusation the enemy is using against us, be taken out of the way because of who you are and what you've done on the cross. And I thank you for doing it. We always stop and we thank you for doing it. And we say, Lord, let every case against us be dismissed and removed. And our destiny be settled and secured and become reality for us. In Jesus' name. And thank you for doing it. A lot of times when we come to God, we come with a need. But what we need to come with, what we need to present, is God's purpose for our life, or the life of others. It's like say somebody has a child and the child is dying. And so we come and we say, God, if the child dies, your purpose in this child's going to be lost. Just like Moses done. When God wanted to destroy the Israel. If you study that, Moses drawing the line. And he said, God, you're going to lose your purpose in all these lives. The people's going to say, your God wasn't able. And so we present God's purpose. So as we say, God, you have purpose for my life. You have destiny for my life. And God, would you rule a favorable verdict? Lord, please rise and render a verdict, whether it's for ourselves, whether it's for somebody else. Render a verdict for us or that person's healing, release from drug addiction, rebellion, whatever, let these powers be broken, or else you're going to lose your purpose in this person. Just like Moses approached God. How many is ready to go into the courts of heaven? How many have things that you think are against your destiny? You ready to go into the courts of heaven? Think about it. What have you been praying about? What have you been seeking God about? And just not quite able to bring it to fruition. If you're in that place, I encourage you just to take a few minutes tonight and just get alone with God. You can come to the altar, you can get in a seat, wherever, and just get alone before God and just desire for the courts to open. How many is ready?
How many wants that?
Nobody wants that.
I want it.
Hallelujah. I'm ready. I'm ready. So, Father, thank you for your word. God, we believe that you are the judge, and you're a just judge. God, we believe you have plans, purposes for our life. God, we know the enemy comes to steal our destiny, sidetrack us, derail us, destroy us. But God, we remember the cross. We remember everything that was dealt with at the cross. And so, Father, we come, Lord God, in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We come by the blood of the Lamb. And as we each get alone with you tonight, God, we're asking, Father, for a favorable verdict to be rendered on our behalf. And for trust in you, Father. We believe you, Father. So we give you all the glory. And Father, we come by faith. And we thank you for that faith. Thank you.